At the end, we will observe together Holy Communion, and you'll find one of these in the seat back in front of you, or if you're in the front row, don't sit on it. We'll get to that at the end. Just want to let you know that John 15, Jesus says some things in the book of John that begin with the phrase, I am. And this is part of that series. He says, I am the true vine. Here's what John 15, 1 through 8 says. Technical difficulties. You know, I don't know how they had church before that we had a screening. Like, I don't even know how they did it in the first, second, third, fourth century. Well, it looks like we're going to have to open our Bibles. How about that? And read right off the pages. Here's what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Verse 3, you are already clean, Jesus says, because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the true vine. I thank you that you are inviting us today to abide in you, to be connected to you, to not be disconnected, but to be connected. Thank you that life, even right now, is flowing from you to us. Strengthen us by your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think his name is Dan. Dan used to work for the Department of Agriculture, lives in Northeast Florida. He's retired. And Dan rolled up one day to the church that we were formerly a part of in Florida, and he had a pickup truck just full of citrus. He lived on the St. John's River, so he had access to free water, and he had taken it upon himself through the years to develop citrus trees in his backyard that were, I don't even know how to describe them, like nothing I've ever seen or tasted. He gave Jamie and I a big bag of several things, one in which stuck out to me were lemons. Now, most lemons that I've seen are about this big, not these. They were, as they say it in the King James Version, enormous. They were enormous. They looked bigger than grapefruits, small cantaloupe maybe. Well, Dan had spent years taking one branch from a tree and grafting it into a rootstock of another tree. He grew up for a few years, and then he kept modifying and modifying and modifying and modifying these citrus trees until they produce the desired fruit that he want. They were so productive, he would invite all his friends and neighbors to come get what they want. He would come to the church and just unload it and had piles left over. because he had spent years grafting things into the rootstock so that the tree would be fruitful. And Jamie, do you remember those lemons? They were huge. Would you give me my water? They were huge. The peels were probably about a half inch thick. You could put them down the garbage disposal and turn that disposal on. Oh, it just smelled like lemons in the whole house. It was great. Jesus is using a metaphor as he teaches us. He's using a picture to explain what he's like, what we're like, what our relationship is like, so that we can be more like him. In the metaphor, there are four basic things. You probably picked up on them. So here's the breakdown. First picture is a vine. Jesus says it's a true vine or a true branch. He said, I'm that. So Jesus in the metaphor is the true vine. Then there's a gardener or a pruner, or your translation may say vine dresser. He said, that's the Father. So I'm the vine, Jesus says. There's a gardener that comes. He does the pruning and the cutting. And then there's the branches. That would be us. We are the branches. Now, you are one branch or you are another. But nonetheless, we are branches. And then the fourth thing is the offspring of the branches, the fruit, the spiritual outcomes and actions of a life that's connected to Jesus. If you're taking notes, number one, Jesus says, hey, I'm the source of life. I'm the source of life. I'm the true vine, he says. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I'm the true vine, a massive claim. If you understand Jewish history, he is saying, listen, Psalm 80, I'm that. Isaiah 5, I'm the fulfillment of that. I'm the true vine. My Father, he's the gardener, and he has the pruners in his hand. He is actively involved in this process to cultivate something beautiful. And then the branches. One branch bears fruit. That branch gets pruned. You know what pruning is? You know what pruning is? It's a cutting. We'll dig into that in a moment. The other branch does not bear fruit, and it's cut off. So in the story, there's good news and bad news, right? You want the good news first? There's good news and bad news. Here's the good news. The good news is if you produce fruit, you get pruned. That's good news because the pruning works to produce a result. That's the good news, right? Here's the bad news. And I'll tell you, I am very challenged to be able to communicate the depth of horror that this bad news is. And the bad news is this. If you produce no fruit, you're cut off. It's bad news. So here's the danger. The danger in the metaphor is this. If you're not bearing fruit, you're cut off. But it's powerful because when you bear fruit, you will be pruned. You ever experienced that? You ever had that happen in your life? It's a cutting away, right? It's a cut. It's a removing of, here's one way to put it, a removing of spiritual distractions. It's a correcting wrong attitudes and motives or habits. It's allowing trials that refine faith. It's cutting off things that might be, look, they might be good, but they're not God's best. That's what pruning is. 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul puts it like this. There's an argument over what they should and shouldn't do concerning a certain kind of meat offered to idols. And he says, look, you say I have the right to do anything in this situation. He says, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is constructive. Do you know there's some things in our lives that are not sinful, but they're not beneficial? They may not be destructive, but they are not helpful. In Philippians, he prays for the Philippian church. Paul does. And he says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound in more knowledge, depth, and insight. Listen, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ. Some things are permissible, but they're not beneficial. A productive vine, a fruitful vine, gets pruned, gets cut away, gets cut back. I had the opportunity to visit a dear saint from this church in the hospital this week. Now, if you grew up here and you've been here for a long time, you would know her. But if you're new, you might not. She's 80, and I think she's been going to Life Church, Grayson Valley, back then for close to 40 years. I went to visit her in the hospital. She's been in and out of the hospital. Pray for Carol. Pray for her. She's been in and out of the hospital. Not Carol Gamble. She's right there. Carol Matthews. In and out. ICU, cold emergency, all kinds of things. Procedures, et cetera, et cetera. So I went to visit her, and her son was giving me the update, you know, on everything that's happening. A lot of complications. She's 80. And I said, Carol, you have one of the best attitudes that I want to have an attitude like you. She said, Pastor, It's going to be all right. I said, you have an incredible attitude. She looked at me. Here she said that. She said, Pastor, Jesus is changing me. Jesus is changing me. You know what I want? When I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, I want Jesus to change me. I threw my head back and laughed, and I said, apparently, it never stops, right? She said, Jesus is changing me through this. What is the claim that Jesus makes? He makes the claim that all life originates in me and me alone. Listen, not religion, not effort, but union with Jesus Christ. And the greatest reality in all of the universe is to be connected to Christ. And the worst reality in all of the universe is to be separated from Him. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18 says this, for in Him, who's the Him here? The Him is Jesus. For in Him, all things were created. Did you know that? Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created, listen, through Him and for Him. He is before what? All things. And in him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have what? Supremacy. What does Jesus rule over? We believe that Christ is the head of the church. We believe that. I'm not so sure if we're fully convinced that he's the head of everything. But we need to think about that for a moment. He's the head of the marketplace. You know who's head of the stock market? Jesus is. You thought Elon Musk was. Jesus is. Do you know who's head? Do you know who's head over Iran? Jesus is. Do you know who's the head over the school system? Jesus. Do you know who's head over production and agriculture and the weather and politics and parties? Do you know who's the head over that? Jesus is. Jesus is claiming exclusive, all-reaching authority over everything. And Paul says he's the creator of it. Life comes from him. He rules over it all. So here's the picture. What's at the center of the universe? Jesus is. He's at the center of it all. Oh, men and their puny kingdoms and small businesses and governments and military powers. Oh, they're so tiny next to the massive claim that Jesus is supreme over all. So, believer, you are not hopeless and you are not helpless. Observation. Christianity is not behavior modification. What do we learn from the metaphor? It's not a behavior modification. Christianity is connection to the supernatural life of Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be connected to his supernatural power. And God is actively, he is actively working. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's working on you right now. Tell them. They need to hear it. Some of us more than others. Some of them need a little more. Some, come on. Come on, back there. He's working on you. He's actively working. Listen, what is he doing? He's pruning. He's shaping. He's cutting back. Some of you know I'm borderline obsessed with landscape and lawns. So I'm like, I don't know who did it. I got home yesterday. And on my home desk, there's a hat that said lawn enforcer. Who, I don't know where it came from. Lawn enforcer. I like green things. I like red things and berry producing. Did you notice the little shrub line outside my window? Come on, I know y'all are like, man, that is awesome. It's probably the first thing you thought of when you came to church. Man, that's an awesome green. Look how beautiful that looks. Someone must have pruned that one and made it look nice. And y'all noticed that, right? Nobody? Okay. You noticed it. Here's one thing I learned about pruning. When you prune, typically, the place where you prune produces more sprouts. You can get a tree or a shrub, a plant, to almost look like anything you want to if you're patient enough. If you don't believe that, go to Disney World and see what they've done. If you're patient enough, you can make a tree, plant, shrub look like almost anything you want to. You see the spirals, right? They didn't grow the ground like that, so we had to work on that. You see the, so there's a guy I follow, not follow, I've seen his YouTubes. He has maples. He has maples in his yard that don't exist anywhere but his yard. Why? Some of y'all will send me to counseling after this. So I watch these. So he will take one maple tree and cut off the top. He will cut a V in it, take a top from another tree, and graft it in. So it's a combination of this and this. I mean, it looks like stuff from another planet all over his yard. Guess what? He doesn't even do it for a living. It's just his hobby. He's got like a regular job. And so he's got this YouTube channel that shows you all his maples all over the yard and what he would name them because he made them up. You can get a tree or a plant or a shrub to almost look like anything if you prune it enough. Jesus wants us to look like him. The pruning happens to produce fruit that looks like, tastes like, smells like Jesus is there. A vineyard keeper cuts back healthy vines to produce more growth. And I would suggest to you the cutting away in your life could be the activity of the Holy Spirit right now, and not an attack from the enemy. Just saying, could be. Don't know for sure, but here's what I do know. He works together in all things if we trust him. So you can be thrown a bad deal, but if you'll trust him, Jesus will flip the script on that and use it for his own glory. Stay connected to the source. Ask to be pruned. Don't resist the pruning. Yield to the Father's work, and even when it's uncomfortable. Number two, I'll depend on Jesus. I will depend upon Jesus. Back to the metaphor. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Interesting. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. No connection, no fruit. Connected, there's fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear what? Much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As he's saying this, I wonder what Jesus is thinking about the 12. What are we thinking about Judas right here? You know, the betrayer. Abide in me, and I in you. So Jesus says, I want to have a relationship, a mutual indwelling relationship. The word abide in me. That's not something we probably use like every day. Abide. If I say abide. Not something we use all the time. Abide in me. It means to remain, to dwell, to live, to continue. Without me, nothing's going to happen. absolute dependence is required for the activity of the Holy Spirit to be invasive. And if you're not connected to me, you're dead. That is a massive claim. That is a massive claim. All life, look, flows through the vine. All life flows through the vine. So here's something that you probably didn't know, because I know you guys are probably waking up in the middle of the night going, man, I wonder how those crepe myrtles at the church are doing. You're probably thinking that. I mean, probably woke you up in the middle of the night. Just to put your mind at ease, what you didn't know was there was a branch out there on the second one in the line along Chalfa Road. There's four plus two. Just in case you didn't know, that's called the small zoysia patch. That's what it's called, because there's Georgia grass, it's small, and that's the big one. So there's four plus two. The four are like tree form, and they branch out. The two have several branches. Well, the third one in the line, how do you say it? Little error, little mistake, and one of the main branches was cut off, kind of. Not all the way, but almost. Almost. Back in March, February. So, the guy here helping went and got some rope, some twine, and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that branch, and I'm just going to wrap it and tie it so that hopefully it grows back together. Now, if you want to fact check my story, walk the line and find the one with the vine on it, or the twine on it. It grafted in. So in other words, here's the deal. It had become partially disconnected, but because it was moved toward the source where the life flowed, it stayed alive. Because I know a lot of y'all have been asking about the crepe myrtles this year, just especially John, he just was upset about it. He's concerned about it. All life flows from the vine. Connected to the vine, you have life flowing into you, alive. Disconnected, cut off, not grafted, no life, dead branch. Okay, what can we observe here? How can we drive this home? Jesus' exclusive claim to rule over everything. Abiding is not occasional, but it's continuous, right? It's continuous. Spiritual dryness is the result of disconnection. Stay with me, because this might confuse some people, but we're going to help each other in just a minute. Prayer becomes an expression of, a vocalization of, the connection, the abiding. Crying out in dependence. God, I can't, but you are and you can. Acts 17, 28 says this. For in him we live and move and have our, what, being. Galatians 2, 20 says this. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I no longer live. The life that flows through me is not my own. It's coming from another source. It's coming from the true vine. Okay, I want to abide. I really do. I hear this. I hear it. It's not how I talk every day. I get the metaphor, okay? How can I abide? How can I abide? Help me abide? Six things to help us dig down to this. Number one, abiding means receiving life from Christ. Abiding means receiving life from Christ. Jesus says, I'm the vine, we're the branches. Our spiritual life does not originate in us. It flows from him. If we stay connected, listen, his life flows into us. If we're disconnected, we wither. No connection, no life. Connected, life. Abiding means receiving from Christ. Two, abiding means remaining in his love. Remaining in his love. To live in a constant awareness of Christ's love means I receive it. I'm trusting in his love. I'm resting in his love. The life flowing from Jesus is not just power, it's love. It's love flowing into us through him. We don't strive for love. Listen, we stay in it. We stay. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you that you love me. You don't stop loving me. You never stop loving me. Number three, abiding means living in his word. So Jesus said, what did he say? You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Jesus abides in us through his word. Through his word. His truth is how we receive his love. His truth is how his life and love reach us. So it reaches us through his word. We don't experience Christ apart from his word. In his word, if his word is in us, his life is active in us. If his word is not in us, his life withers. You can tell what kind of spiritual week someone has by their response to corporate worship. If they're abiding, you can tell. Sunday becomes the pep rally, the hallelujah, yes, and amen. Now, I know we can have seasons where it's like, oh, Lord, if you'll just give a brother some help here, I'm drowning. But you can tell in a public worship service how abiding people are. They're connected to the vine. It's an expression of the connectivity. Number four, abiding means drinking deeply from Christ. Abiding is not passive, okay? It's not passive. It's spiritual hunger and thirst. Jesus says to come, believe, to drink, and be satisfied. Satisfied. Faith is more than just belief. It's dependence. It's dependence. We come to Christ as our only source of satisfaction. Remember, we established that Mick doesn't have any. Jagger. Okay. Let me back up. So we established a couple weeks ago that Mick Jagger doesn't have any satisfaction because he can't get no. So I'd probably do better if I tell the joke right or explain it better. It's not funny if you have to explain it, so I'll just, all right, there we go. Abiding means experiencing his joy. I was reminded of that on the way to church this morning. Can I be honest with you for a moment? I have to really guard my thoughts in the morning because here's what happens. All the things that are not done, that need to be done, the pressing issues seem to scream the loudest. I'm sure it's just me and Kevin. They scream the loudest. the things that aren't right. Okay, so praise God for the shrubs outside the window. Don't they look nice? But what about the ones that aren't nice? Work with me here. What about the unpaid bill? What about the tire that's not, don't have tread on it? What about my good knee? What about my good elbow? What about that? So I have to guard my mind, because if I'm not careful, everything triggers and I'm like, ah. So I'm on the way, and all these things. Oh, by the way, pray for me this week. I'll give you a report when I come back, but I've got an opportunity to go to a sensitive location on the planet, a communist country, very soon, and I'll come back and give a report, but we're just been advised to just wait, so I'll give you a great report. So all these thoughts, all the millions of things I'm trying to get done, I caught myself, and I just started laughing. I had the radio on. I think it was a Chris Tomlin song. I turned it off. I'm like, Lord, I just started laughing. I just started praying in the Spirit. I said, Lord, let your joy be what drives me. When we abide, we don't just get peace, we receive His joy. Okay, what about the bad knee? Well, what about the good knee? What about the unpaid bill? What about the one that's paid? The very joy Jesus has in the Father begins to live in us through the Spirit. Jesus has joined the Father. That begins to flow through us, through His Spirit into us. His joy becomes our joy. The things that make Him joyful make us joyful. His joy is complete. And when we're connected to Him, our joy in the midst of chaos can be unexplainable. Don't make sense. Surpasses understanding. Number 6, abiding is rooted in the cross. So where does it all come from? Every blessing, life, love, joy, truth, every blessing flows from the mountain of Calvary, the place of the skull, the place where Jesus was crucified, the cross. We look this way. We feed on Christ by trusting what? In His sacrifice, death, burial, and resurrection. What is there to be hopeful about? Modern science? The political landscape? The economy? The shrubs are trimmed? What's there to be hopeful about? At the end of the day, where does our hope lie? Our hope lies in the promise of the resurrection. That Jesus, who died, took away the sting of death, fought your biggest battles, won them, and provides for you life forever when you abide in Him. It's not escapism, but one day we're getting out of here. Hey, one way or another. It's been said that at Henry Ford's funeral, the procession went by, and someone asked his chief accountant, "Hey, what'd the old man leave behind?" His accountant said, "Everything. Everything." All abiding is made possible because of His death and resurrection. So abiding in Christ means continually receiving from Him. Continually receiving. Do you know that you can receive from Jesus continually? Continually. Receive His life, His love, His truth, His joy, His through faith, grounded in the cross. Okay, I'll depend upon Jesus. Then there's a warning and a great reason to celebrate. Here's the warning. John 15:6. I'll heed Jesus' warning. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. We won't spend a lot of time right now, but let's touch this for a moment. What happens to a branch that is not abiding? It is thrown away and it withers. Withering precedes destruction. We haven't had this problem this year, but sometimes you know when your grass needs some water because it begins to get a little bit withery. Is that a word? Withery? At least in my house, what I got is fungus and mushrooms and everything growing on the side. It's rain. We don't have withering, but withering precedes destruction. Spiritual decline, listen, is progressive. It's progressive. Be careful. Be alert. Be alert. Be alert. Because your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Spiritual, no drunk in the gutter will say to you, you know, when I was a young man, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to absolutely ruin my life and lose everything. Four jobs, house, car, marriage, kids abandoned me. I'm going to lose everything and sleep right here and scrap for some cheap wine every day. No one says that. Spiritual decline is progressive. And fire represents judgment. There is a seriousness in being separated from Christ. It is possible to appear connected, but lack true life. I am not trying to throw condemnation and weight. That helps nobody. But what helps us all is revelation. Spirit-filled life requires ongoing surrender and connection. Judas appeared to be down until the end. I mean, he was at the beatings. So what is Jesus talking about? Okay, here. He is not trying to discuss bring up a theological debate. Okay, so you're connected, you're not connected. What does that mean for salvation or not salvation? Or who's saved and how's it? That's not the focus here. I think we can learn some things, but here's the focus. The focus, the emphasis is urgent spiritual reality. That's the focus. Urgency. The focus is urgency. So good news. You can nurture dependence. I want to be more dependent. I want that. I want that in my life. If you say that, good news, you can nurture that. You can work with the Word, work with the Holy Spirit in your life to produce change. Change comes from Him, but if I'm resistant, non-cooperative, guess what? I miss out. Examine your spiritual condition honestly. Put it on a scale. Repent quickly when you sense a wedge. Stay sensitive. Don't ignore conviction. So here's the warning. Number four, here's where we'll land before communion. Worship team, come. I'll be fruitful and powerful. Now that's a good ending right there. I'll be fruitful and powerful. Verse 7 says this, if you remain in me, and my word remains in you. Remember the parable of the seed scattered in the soil? The seed was all the same. It was a soil. And my word remains in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now that's a lot. What do we take away? How do we land the plane? Prayer flows from abiding. If you want to strengthen your prayer life, focus on the abiding. Focus on the connection. Focus on the divine flow from Christ to you. Focus on that abiding. Focus on staying in his love and his joy and his peace. Focus on him. So prayer flows from the abiding. And Jesus, I mean, this is a massive claim. If you remain in me and my word in you, ask whatever you wish. Aren't you thankful there's some things you've asked God for that he did not do? I'm thankful. I look back on some things and I'm like, whew, that would have been a train wreck. They're probably not in the room, so we can talk about them. But aren't you thankful that she didn't fall in love with you? Or that he didn't ask you back out? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, ooh, that was a, Aren't you thankful that you didn't get that house? Or that, aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that you didn't end up getting that car? That you didn't say, Lord, thank you for providing this $785 a month payment? Aren't you thankful? I don't know how that's a blessing from the Lord. I just want to thank God for this brand new $95,000 SUV that I financed for 9 years at 19% interest. The Lord's just provided for me. I'm like, I don't know about that. I think the Lord needs to provide for you some Dave Ramsey classes. I think what he needs to provide for you. And we're connected. There's a flow that happens. Listen. From that flow comes a petition, comes a asking, comes a heaven meets earth desire. And there's an alignment of the activity of Christ and our prayer life. And all of a sudden, it is a dynamic explosion. Ask whatever you want to be done for you. True dependency is evidenced by spiritual fruit. From what you look this way. From what you receive from the vine, prayer is an expression of that dependence and union, both desperate and joyful, both. Because Jesus was both. Remember, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I pray for you. Right? He's burdened. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew, I could call legions. And his joy is made complete. We're connected to him. Fruit is not self-produced. Fruit is spirit-produced. Okay, let's go back to Philippians 1 and land. Here's what it says, verse 9 through 11. The apostle is praying for the church of Philippi. He prays this. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge, in depth, and insight. That's what I'm praying for you, Paul says. I'm praying for this. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. He says, I'm praying for you so that your love may abound more and more, knowledge and depth, so that you may be able to discern. So there be discernment to understand and know what is best and may be pure and blameless. filled with the fruit. Here it comes. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through what? Who? Jesus Christ. And for what? To the glory and praise of God. Man, this sounds a lot like John 15, doesn't it? A healthy vine produces grapes naturally. Doesn't strain, it produces because it's receiving life. When it's connected, fruit is inevitable. When it's connected, fruit is inevitable. When it's connected, fruit is inevitable. So that tells me I need to think about fruit some, but I need to think about the source mostly. Right? I can't will it in X. I think about fruit some. I should. I think we should think about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, I got all nine. I got them memorized. I think we should. But I think we should think about the source most. Because that's where anything good comes from. Let God's word dwell. Expect your prayer life to change. Ask me for anything. Really? Really?
I was talking to a man in our church this week. He's been to the same location I'm going to in 1969. But it was for a different reason. And he has scars on his body as evidence of his visit there. I said, guess where I'm going? He said, I have no idea. I said, you've been there. I said, did you ever think when you were 19 years old and getting shot at, living in foxholes, that one day doors would open in this land for Christ to be glorified? Ask me for anything. Ask me for anything and it shall be done. Praise God for the good knee. Pray for the bad knee. But that's a drop in the bucket. Because you're going to get two new ones one day anyways. Does God care about your bad knee? Yes. But I would submit to you, there's other things he cares about also. Ask me for anything, and it shall be done. So let's land. Lord, attach us firmly to the vine. Firmly. Let your life flow through us. Believers, pray for pruning. Pray for a cutting away. You don't need it anyways. It ain't helpful. What's on the other side? That cut. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? So here we are, Lord. Knowing that you are the true vine. You're the true vine.
We're the branches. What I want us to do is, as a response to the word, observe communion together. So a couple words of instruction. If you're new here and a follower of Christ, you are welcome to participate. You don't have to be a member, have your name. The only biblical requirement I see is that your name's written in a book, yes, in heaven, that you're a Christ follower. So if that's you today, you are welcome to join with the body to observe communion. So what I'd like you to do is grab your cup and stand on your feet, please, if you would. Give you a minute. If you don't have one, there's someone around you that has one. They can shuttle it to you. If you don't have one and you want one, just please wave around. We want to make sure. We want to make sure there's dispersed everywhere. So Matthew 26, I believe, is the only gospel that includes Judas in the quick, direct dialogue about communion, I think. In Matthew 26, 25, Jesus is saying, "Hey, when are you going to betray me?" Judas speaks up. Matthew 25, or 26, 25 says, "Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me.'" Jesus' answer to him was, "You have said so." Next verse, 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. Matthew connects those two. Jesus, the betrayer, is offered life in Jesus, but chooses to reject it. Today, you are offered life in Jesus. If you have come into this room not a follower of Christ, now is the day of your salvation. You hold in your hand a representation of what Christ did on the cross, the blood and the body of Jesus sacrificed for you so you could have life forever. And if you're not connected to the vine, you're not born again, you're not saved, and you want to be, I'm going to pray before we receive this communion. Or you say, "Hey, I'm in. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm in." Maybe you say, "I'm being pruned, so Holy Spirit, strengthen me in the process so the Father receives glory." Or you say, "Holy Spirit, cut away that which is not beneficial so that later there is fruit that would not happen unless this happened." Thank you, Jesus. Can we pray and contemplate and meditate for a moment before communion? If you're not connected to the vine, you're not saved, you're not born again, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Maybe you're disconnected, but you don't want to be disconnected. You want to be connected. You die today, you'll be separated from God forever because you know that you're not connected to God. You want to be. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If that's you, hey, Pastor, pray for me. I need help this morning. I don't want that. I want to be connected. On the count of three, just wave at me. Make eye contact and look this way. Maybe you're watching online. Obviously, I can't see you, but I'd like for you to respond as well because I want to help you. That's you. I'm not connected, but I want to be connected. I'm far from God. I just need Christ. Just wave at me on the count of three. One, two, three, all over the room. Anyone here today? Anyone here? Anyone here? If you're watching at home, watching this video, know that Jesus loves you. He has a plan for you. He died for you. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved.
So a prayer would be something like, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner and ask you to forgive me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that. You died for me and you were risen, you rose from the dead. And today I surrender to you. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, if that's you, let us know. We want to connect you to a good Bible-believing church. If you're in the community, we'll connect you. If you're outside, we'll do our best. If you're here today and you say, listen, there's pruning going on. I need strength for pruning. Anybody? Anybody? Just wave. Just wave. Just wave. Just wave. There's pruning. How many would say, look, Lord, prune me. Cut away. Show me. Show me what you're up to. Show me so I can work with you. Anybody with me? Anybody with me? Yes. So that's our prayer, Lord, that you would prune us, that you would strengthen us. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Hold the bread in your hand. Father, thank you for the body of this Jesus. You said the word to take it and eat it. Body. Lord, let us feast on you. Teach us, Master. Let's eat together. Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. There wasn't anybody in the room that the cup wasn't passed to. It's offered to all. Jesus said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Oh, aren't you thankful? For many? Even a sinner like me. Poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Christ, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that you are our Redeemer, that you are our Justifier, that your blood was spilled for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we thank you for your blood. Thank you for your soul-cleansing blood. Ask that you would help us the best we can this side of heaven to understand and dwell and glory and meditate and receive the powerful flow that comes when we trust in you. We receive your sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's drink together.